Morning. So the Bible reading today is Acts chapter 16. If you've got a church Bible, it's on page 1112. And we're reading from verse 16. So Acts chapter 16, starting at verse 16. Paul and Silas in prison. Once, when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune-telling. This girl followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God, who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so troubled that he turned round and said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the spirit left her. When the owners of the slave girl realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they'd been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself, we're all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him, and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his family were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. When it was daylight, the magistrates sent their officers to the jailer with the order, "Release those men." The jailer told Paul, "The magistrates have ordered that you and Silas be released. Now you can leave. Go in peace." But Paul said to the officers, "They beat us publicly without a trial, even though we're Roman citizens, and threw us in prison. And now do they want to get rid of us quietly? No, let them come themselves and escort us out." The officers reported this to the magistrates, and when they heard that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens, they were alarmed. They came to appease them and escorted them from the prison, requesting them to leave the city. After Paul and Silas came out of the prison, they went to Lydia's house, where they met with the brothers and encouraged them. Then they left. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, it certainly is wonderful to be together, isn't it? To worship together and now to look into God's word together. So let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for the gift of your word. We ask now that you would speak to us, that we would see more of who you are, and we would see what you are doing, and we would hear how you are leading us on. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's all change, isn't it? I wonder what your marker of the change of the season is. I wonder if it's that the sandals have gone away and the socks or the tights have come out. I wonder if it's whether you're having to turn the lights on earlier in the evening. I wonder what your marker is. Certainly at the vicarage, we're having that discussion. At what point are we going to relight the log burner? Ooh. It's September, isn't it? This week has seen the start of the new school year. It's a new season, and there's a real sense of a new beginning. And it's the same here at church. There's this transition point. And what a wonderful summer it's been. A team out in Uganda, the church looking at the Lord's Prayer. And a big thank you to Marcus for putting that great series together and lots of people being involved in that. And for everybody really engaging and us seeing again what a gift that prayer is and the depth of praying it. That was the summer, and we look ahead. And next week, we start a sermon series right up to Advent Sunday, looking at every part of the book of Ephesians. No, we're not. You see, you were listening. It's better than me. If I walk away from the lectern, I haven't got my notes. I do know what we're doing next week. We're going to start looking at every part of the book of the Philippians, Paul's letter to those in Philippi. So here we are on almost like an in-between Sunday. And whereas sometimes the in-between bit where we just want to get through, we've marked this as an important Sunday. I earmarked it as Vision Sunday, so that it was an opportunity for me as vicar to share how I feel God's guiding us and for us to look together at the direction he is leading us in. Vision Sunday. Inherent in the word vision is obviously the aspect of seeing. One company that test your eyes and sell glasses are called Vision Express. Other companies are available. But it's inherent in that word. Vision involves seeing. And so today on Vision Sunday, I ask, how do we want to see God at work in this wonderful church and the beautiful communities around us? How do we want to see God at work in our own lives? Not because we tell God what to do, obviously not, but because we can look in his word and see what he is like. And by seeing what God is like, we can begin to see what he wants to do among us, in us, and in the church. So we're looking at vision, what we long to see and even can expect to see. Firstly, in our own lives, and secondly, in the church. And I felt God give me a title, a strapline for this talk on vision. And actually, I've grappled with this all week, and when God gave me this, it was like, wow, yes, thank you for showing me what you want to be said to the church. It's quite basic and simple, and it is this: seeing more of God, more of God being seen. Seeing more of God being seen. As individuals, my prayer is that we, me and all of us, see more of God. And as a church, I would love our prayer to be that through us, by God's grace, through the activities of the church, but because of the work of the Holy Spirit, more of God is seen. That people in our communities see God and experience his love, and from that come to commit their lives to Jesus. Seeing more of God being seen. So let's look at us as individuals and that invitation to see more of God. So Nick read us this passage today from Acts 16. Paul and Silas are thrown into a cell. There's then an incredible act of God opening up the prison, and we see a jailer and his family believing in God and being baptised. Now, you might be sat there thinking, that's rather an odd passage for a Vision Sunday. It's Amanda talking about prison and prison breaks. And maybe I've been influenced by an amazing experience in Uganda, seeing people worshipping in a prison. But I've been thinking it's a bit of an odd passage too, and I was the one that chose it. But that made me even more encouraged and, dare I say, confident that this is the passage that God had laid on my heart for today, and I'm excited to share from it now. So we hear the account of Paul and Silas thrown into prison. But we read at midnight, they are heard praying and praising God. Praying and singing hymns. Wow, is what I have to say to that. Paul and Silas were in a truly horrid situation. And in that situation, they turned to and praised the living God. And I find myself asking, how did they do that? It's a huge challenge to me because I can stand here and I'll be honest with you, I truthfully have to say, I don't think I'd respond in that way. I would struggle for lots of reasons, but especially because this was unfair, it was unjust, it was wrong. Because Paul and Silas, if we look at the context here, they had brought freedom to a slave girl who was held captive by both evil and by humans. And in doing so, they lost their own freedom and were put into captivity. But at midnight, they were heard praying and singing hymns. How did they do that? They were wrongly imprisoned. There was no due process, no trial. Their bodies were beaten. The passage states they were severely flogged. So they were cruelly treated physically and so were humiliated. But at midnight, they are heard praying and singing hymns. How did they do that? They were thrown into a prison cell, and not just that, they were put in stocks. And I read that that was a form of torture. It really was truly horrid. But at midnight, they were heard praying and singing hymns. How did they do that? How did they do it? Well, I think it's because of the vision of God that they have. And I pray for myself that I may see more of God, grasp more of who he really is, and so grow in faith and deepen my trust in him and lift my eyes to him in all and every circumstance. In the example that I think that Paul and Silas give us here, it's an invitation to look, to see, to look at who God truly is. And when we do that, we will see more of him. It's an invitation to lift our gaze and grasp again the vastness of God, to know that he's sovereign over all things. And that's something God's been teaching me over this summer. He is in control. We can trust him with everything. I believe the reason Paul and Silas could pray and sing hymns was because they truly knew the living God. They looked to him and they had a wonderful, faith-filled certainty that he had it. They were in prison, but God had got it. They were in the stocks, but God knew and he was in control. They knew that their good, kind, powerful, living God was holding them in his wonderful hands. I remember struggling at one time and went to the GP. And my friend prayed for me. And she said, you're in very big hands. Not those of the GP, but the hands of God. Seeing more of God is an invitation that in the darkness we would see the light of Jesus, that in the cold we would experience the warmth of God's immense unconditional love, and in any pain and difficulty, to know Jesus, the one who has experienced the pain and difficulty of the cross, sitting right with us. When we see more of God, it is good news, because he is a good God. And I wonder what would happen when we start seeing more of God. Well, I've no doubt it leads to prayer and praise. I tried to give people the church postcard as you came in. 2024 has been a year of prayer and praise in our 10th anniversary. I asked, how could Paul and Silas pray and sing hymns? And now may I ask how we might see more of God? Because it's a journey we're all on if we're looking to be followers of Jesus. And it's great that we're on it together. So good that we can encourage one another in it. I wonder how different it would have been if Paul was in prison on his own, or Silas was on his own. God had given them each other at that point. So we're on a journey alongside one another to see more of who God is. How? What would that look like? Well, I wrote down three things. Firstly, seeing more of God because of our individual practice, what we prioritise and what we choose to do. Making time in our day for God with our prayer and our Bible study. We do it corporately. We're doing it this morning, gathering as the church here, worshipping together. But also the invitation is to do it in small groups. And small groups are an important part of the structure of St. Mary's. And today on this Vision Sunday, I'm making a particular emphasis on small groups. I look out and I see many people that are in a small group and some people that aren't at this point. We've currently got 7 great groups, and thank you for those leaders and those who are part of them. Those groups meet for Bible study and prayer. But at this point, this September, we're launching 2 new groups. And I'm encouraging anyone here today that's not yet in a group to think about it. This is all part of us seeking as individuals to see more of God. Our vision is to have a bigger vision. And we've no doubt that that will lead to prayer and praise, as well as so much blessing, because when we know who God is, we know he's in control, and that brings such peace. So let's now look at us as a church. My vision and prayer, the prayer I urge you to join me with, is that more of God would be seen. And wow, do we see so much more of God in this Acts passage? It's interesting, later when Paul goes on his missionary journeys and establishes churches, he then later writes to them. And in one of his prayers to the Ephesians, he says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine." No wonder he can write that, because he saw God do immeasurably more. So we've got to the point where Paul and Silas are in prison. They're in horrid circumstances, but they pray and sing. And then what do we see of God? Well, firstly, we see that our God is powerful. He sends an earthquake. We have a powerful God for whom nothing is impossible. We then see that our God transforms situations. Doors that were closed and tightly locked burst open. Chains that had held the prisoners down come loose. Situations can change because we have a God who transforms. And thirdly, our generous God draws people to himself. He offers salvation through Jesus. The jailer asks, "What must I do to be saved?" And he and his household believe and are baptized. God continues to draw people to himself today. In Matthew 18, we read, "Your Father in heaven does not want any of these little ones to be lost." God's heart is to draw people to himself, This is who God is. All these characteristics of power, of transformation, of salvation. This is what he's like. And therefore, we can pray more of God to be seen in the church and in the communities of Hollywood and Withal. Particularly seeing God draw people to himself in salvation so that people will believe in Jesus and know that amazing forgiveness and new life that he gives. The salvation we see in this passage comes to the jailer and his household. So let's have a look. Presumably the jailer heard the singing, although he must have then fallen asleep because he was woken by the earthquake. And then he sees that all the prison doors are wide open. And what's the jailer's response? Well, his intention now is to kill himself. This is what every loyal Roman soldier knows is the noble thing to do. Basically, the punishment for a jailbreak, whatever the circumstances, was death. And so he would decide to bring that about on himself rather than someone doing it to him. Then he hears Paul say, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." So he looks and he finds it to be true and wonderfully asks the question, the key question, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And so I wanted to share with you today that something that's been being discussed recently within the leadership of the church is something we're praying. What we've seen through some of the activities of the church is that God's always at work. People are blessed. We've seen some wonderful things where people like at Scoff have written a prayer and put it in the postbox and come back and said, "It's amazing. My daughter prayed that and it's now happening." Something that seemed impossible. But we would love then to see a next step that people ask, "So who is this God?" But we're not always seeing that questioning or that curiosity. So because we would love people to come to faith in Jesus, to meet with him, we've been praying that the Holy Spirit would be at work in people's lives, making them curious. Not just, "Oh, everything's whatever, and I'm not looking beyond," but to ask more. When people are curious, they begin to ask questions, just like the jailer asked question. Wouldn't it be wonderful if those you've been praying for, your family, your friends, your neighbours, people you work with, or the people in our community, people who come to church activities, began to ask more questions? Questions like, "So what is this Christianity all about? What do you do in that hall on a Sunday? So who is this Jesus?" And we hope that people would ask, "What must I do to be saved?" The jailer was going to die, and he gained life, life with Jesus. And I love the phrase that I've heard lots of speakers use: Jesus didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people alive. We pray for life for people in our communities. Life that comes through that relationship with Jesus. The peace, the contentment, the power that he offers. In verse 34, we read, "The jailer was filled with joy because he came to believe in God." We pray and we want joy for our family and friends and those in our community. The jailer and his household were baptized. And we're looking forward to baptisms and confirmations here at St Mary's on Advent Sunday, 1st of December, where Bishop Michael, the relatively new Bishop of Birmingham, is coming. Is that for you to publicly say, "I now believe"? But on this Vision Sunday, and maybe writing on the back of your postcard, I ask you to join in the prayer that people would be curious and come to faith in Jesus. Pray that more of God would be seen. When I've been overseas and I've had discussions here, people sometimes talk about the spiritual temperature of a place. I would say that the spiritual temperature in Uganda just generally would be higher than in the West. People are open to conversations about God and about Jesus. So in praying for people to be curious, we're praying that God in his graciousness and by his Holy Spirit would raise the spiritual temperature around here. In us, that we're ready for those conversations, but in those that we speak to. As I read about this passage this week, one thing particularly struck me. One author said that when Paul shouts out to the jailer, "Don't harm yourself, we're all here," he said that that was an act of compassion. It was, wasn't it? It was real care for that soldier that was about to kill himself. It was an act of compassion. I really like that. And we as the Church of St. Mary's are involved in many things that show love and compassion and care to people. So a huge thank you today for people who give money, people who run those events, and people who pray for them. Just a reminder, just to give thanks today on this Vision Sunday, Little Lights, our toddler group, showing care to parents and grandparents of little ones. SCOF, our after-school event, providing a meal and fun and a place to belong and have a community for families, lots of those from this school. Super Saturday, giving a space and a place for families with children or adults with additional needs. Our youth group, which restarts tonight, helping young people explore and navigate their world and explore what they believe. Our Friendship Club, providing activities for older members of the community, often those people that experience loneliness and isolation. Please pray for the church, for the activities of the church. And on this Vision Sunday, we're reminded why we do them, because that's key. We don't just run activities. We do these things that more of God would be seen, that they then would be curious, and then, by God's grace, be drawn to Jesus and believe in him. So vision is all about seeing. We've discussed vision for ourselves. Are you wanting to see more of God and to see that in your life? And what does that mean? And if you're not currently in a small group, please consider it. And we've discussed a vision for our church community, for the church and the community around it. More of God being seen. So what I'd like to do now is just lead us in a response. And what we're going to do is we're going to close our eyes, and then we're going to look, and we're going to ask God that we might see more. See what he's prompting us in. So firstly, I'm going to ask you to decide where you're going to look when you open your eyes. Are you going to look at the floor? Are you going to look at the cross? Are you going to look at the window? Are you going to look at the screen? I don't suggest you look at me, because we're all looking to God. So could you decide now where you're going to look when you open your eyes? Okay, so let's close our eyes. Lord, as we sit here with eyes closed, we acknowledge who you are. A God who is loving and powerful, who transforms, who sits with us in pain and guides us into light. We thank you for who you are, the vastness of you. And now I invite you to open your eyes and look in the place you decided. You're actively now saying, "I want to see." And so, Lord, speak to each of us now, whether it be something for us or something for this church. A moment of quiet. Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. Now let me close in prayer. Basing this prayer on what is a key and life verse for me, it's the penultimate verse of Psalm 27. I remain confident of this, I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Lord, we thank you that we can be confident, not in ourselves and not in the activities we do, but confident because of who you are. And Lord, we pray that we will see, that we'll see more of you and more of you will be seen. We pray that we will see your goodness, your kindness and your love in the land of the living, that we will see you in the communities of Hollywood and Withal and in the Church of St. Mary. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen.